8 a.m. having arrived. I'm going to call the Committee on Taxes to order. We do not have a quorum, but we're going to start. And so, Representative Hewitt, welcome to the committee. Good morning. And we have no one, we can't move your bill yet, but what we're going to do is hear it and so forth, and then we can make the appropriate motions when we have a quorum. So please proceed.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate that gesture. It is Fat Tuesday, so I did bring donuts, even though I've shown before your committee before in the spirit of good gestures.
Representative Hewitt, how come you think you get more than one hearing?
Because I'm probably working on others. Chair. Anyways, to get to House File 1437, this is a bill regarding a devastating situation as it is. This is about an individual or a family that may have lost their home to foreclosure. And the difference between the value that the bank sold the home for and the actual value that they assessed the home for, so in other words, the loss in the sale, is actually considered a taxable amount by both us and the federal government. And we've had this apparently through the past, I believe, twice now, you guys have forgiven this debt to not be taxed. And so what I'm asking for is that we do this again. I have someone here from the real estate. I have Mr. Edgar here from the Real Estate Association. And he's here to talk a little bit about their feeling on this bill.
Very good. Mr. Edgar, welcome to the committee, and please state your name and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul Egger. I'm Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Minnesota Realtors. We're a trade association with a membership of over 20,000 real estate professionals across the state. And I'm here today in support of Representative Hewitt's bill. Mr. Chair, for those of you that have been on the tax committee for a number of years, I've been here testifying in support of this as a federal conformity item. In the past, it was most recently in the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018 at the federal level. And we've also advocated for the legislature to consider what Representative Hewitt's proposing here today, which is making this provision a permanent feature of Minnesota's tax code. Representative Hewitt did a good job of describing what the bill does. He mentioned foreclosures. I would just highlight this also covers debt forgiven through a short sale or also a principal reduction. Again, this is not income in the traditional sense. This is debt forgiven by a lender to somebody who's in a difficult economic circumstance that's then considered income for tax purposes, and just seems like tacking on tax to somebody who is unable to pay a mortgage or complete a sale because they just don't have the money is an unfair situation, and we hope that you'll consider including this bill in the omnibus tax bill at the end of session. And just for a little context, Mr. Chair, I look back at some data, and in 2018, 3% of Minnesota sales were lender-mediated, which means that they were in the pre-foreclosure process, already bank-owned, or were subject to lender-approved short sale. And if you go back a little further, you know, right after the housing crash from 2009 to 2012, the number was over 30% of sales were in that category. But I think the takeaway is whether it's 3%, 30%, to that individual homeowner, as Representative Hewitt described, this is a devastating situation. And so, again, we just encourage you to include this in the final omnibus tax bill when you get to that at the end of session, Mr. Chair. And thanks again for the opportunity to testify.
Very good. And thank you very much. We're going to halt right here because we do have a quorum now. So we're going to do the minutes first before we proceed. Representative Lestigard, would you like to move the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Lestigard moves approval of the Thursday, February 28, 2019 minutes. Any discussion on those? Hearing none, I will call for the vote on approval of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. A motion does prevail. Representative Lestigard, would you like to move House File 1437?
It would be my honor.
Representative Lestigard moves House File 1437 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. And there is an A1 amendment. Representative Lestigard moves the A1 amendment. and members, I think it's just technical in nature, but Representative Hewitt or Mr. Williams, did you want to address the A1 amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, the A1 amendment just clarifies that the subtraction amount is limited to the amount of discharged debt included in federal taxable income. So it just avoids allowing a subtraction if it's not, that amount has already been excluded in federal taxable income.
Okay, very good. Any comments on that from members? If not, I'm going to call for the vote on the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. All right. So before we go, anyone from the audience that would like to testify for or against House File 1437 as amended? Seeing no one. Members, questions on House File 1437 as amended? Representative Lean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for either the author or research staff. Would this exclusion be extended beyond if, let's say, the federal government does not continue to allow this on the federal level? Would this be allowed then on the state level as well, or would it just cut off if the federal government doesn't act?
Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lean, so the bill allows a subtraction for any amounts that are included in federal taxable income. So if in the future discharge principal residence indebtedness is not excluded federally and is included in federal taxable income, Minnesota would allow a state subtraction. So it sort of allows this subtraction and for Minnesota purposes permanently into the future.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions, comments from members? If not, Representative Hewitt, any final words?
Once again, thank you, committee, for allowing me to come forward with 1437. As a realtor, I have had this crisis happen to many people that are hoping to buy a home and they can't get back on track. This will give them that step they need to give this some time and move them forward to home ownership once again. Thank you this morning, and enjoy your donut holes.
And thank you very much, Representative Hewitt.
Thank you.
Representative Leslie Gard renews his motion to lay over House File 1437 as amended for the inclusion, possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Next up is House File 1453. I'll turn the chair over to Representative Leslie Gard.
Okay, the bill before us is House File 1453. Chair Marquardt, would you like to move the bill before the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move House File 1453 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill.
Okay. We have the bill before us, and we have the author's amendment. Chair Marquardt moves the amendment labeled A4. Does anyone, does everyone have the amendment?
So, Mr. Chair, I will move the A4 amendment. And, Mr. Chair, basically what this does, it just clarifies that for property tax refunds, the change in CPI or cost of living adjustment is from June to June. And when it comes to income taxes, the change is from August to August. And don't ask me why. That is in, that's what state law is there, and there, we, with staff and so forth, we were trying to figure out maybe why that is, and we don't know for sure why that is, but just clarifies that. So that's what the A4 amendment does, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion?
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Marquardt, your bill, the base bill 1453, is a reorganization of sections of law. Is this amendment that likewise, or is this new? Because I read this as new information being added to a technical bill.
If I could refer to Mr. Williams on that, just to make sure we've got this correct.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, I don't think there would be any substantive effect to the amendment relative to the base bill. The base bill itself and also the amendment are just sort of taking some existing language that's in the statute and is sort of used repeatedly to index things for inflation, and it's sort of moving that repeated indexing language into a new section of statute. It kind of rewrites the indexing language to make it a little bit more clear. So the amendment's sort of changing that new indexing language from the base bill, but there's no substantive change to how indexing occurs under the amendment or the base bill. The only thing is that in the base bill, and this is preserved in the amendment, it doesn't take a stance on which measure of inflation, either CPIU or chain CPI, that would be used for the purposes of indexing provisions in the state income tax code.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Anyone else? Hearing none, those in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
So, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And so Mr. Williams did already kind of explain it a little bit. Thank you. But this is a bill technical in nature. And what we do in the tax code is something called, we do inflation or cost of living adjustment, or you'll hear the word indexing used. So, for example, on your income tax bracket rates, every year they're indexed to some measure. And right now it's the consumer price index for all urban consumers. They use that. It's federally. It's used by state. And they use the urban consumer because that's about 90% of the population. That was started back in 1978. At any rate, if you didn't index by inflation, as your income went up by inflation, and if that didn't move up, you would move into other brackets and so forth. And so, and it indexes on property tax refunds, on credits, the corporate income tax. So you've got this indexing every year. And so currently, in Minnesota law, what happens on all of these things is there is a cross-reference, like on the income tax or corporate tax or property tax refund. There's a cross-reference to federal law, and they do it in each area. So income tax, it's done. In corporate income tax, it's done. What this would do is simplify things, is cross-reference everything that is in Chapter 290 and 298 back into what this bill would do, into some sort of an inflation member method, and it would be in Chapter 270C. So instead of referencing federal law, it would just reference this new section one time, and it would just make it a lot simpler. Also, this bill takes no stance on whether or not, it leaves this part blank for the committee to decide later, whether or not to go with the current, well, no, I shouldn't say, the current before the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which was CPI, just regular CPIU, urban, or what the new federal law now is with the Tax Cuts Jobs Act is chained CPI. And so the difference is CPI measures a basket of goods. And you might have this basket of goods there. A chained CPI would say, you know, when times get a little tougher, instead of buying sirloin, you might buy chicken. And so that basket of goods represents the tougher times. And so the inflation might not be as great there. And so the federal government, with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, moved to a chained CPI. This bill leaves that part blank. They either go with CPI or chained CPI. And then the other part that the bill does, it does give instructions to the reviser to rebase all of these values for 2019 and instructs the reviser to publish this in the Minnesota Statute Supplement. So it's a lot of technical things. We're kind of doing this to get this language out so members can see it and the Department of Revenue can see it to make sure everyone kind of feels comfortable with it. But the only, I guess, major change is it's instead of referencing federal law, we're now just going to go back and cross-reference this new Minnesota portion of law. So hopefully Mr. Williams can correct me if I've gone off track here. So, but that's the bill, members, 1453.
Okay. Any questions from members. Representative Swedensky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just kind of maybe a little nugget to chew on, but I think in the last, you know, the 8 years of the Obama administration, we saw a large increase in poultry consumption, so I don't know if those two things might be connected. But just kind of in an effort to help with the simplification of this bill, just maybe a future question to partisan staff, but if we were to, you know, have a bill that got rid of all inflation and indexing bills to inflation where they tick up, you know, it'd be interesting to see what that fiscal note is, just to, so we can maybe help simplify this area law a little to eliminate those portions. But if we could look that up, that'd be great. What that fiscal impact would be if we got rid of all inflationary increases.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for Mr. Williams again, has nonpartisan in the tax division decided to change shall to must as we have in the education code? Because this is loaded with shalls, and if you're making technical changes, we might as well go the whole way. But I don't know what you have decided to do in the nonpartisan tax division.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, I'm not sure that there's necessarily been a conscious decision amongst the tax team about how best to draft those things with regards to shall and must, but I think you're right that this bill does include a lot of shalls.
Yes.
Representative Carlson.
I was looking at the revenue note, and it's rather an interesting one where the impact is undetermined if you read the very last sentence. Mm-hmm. It says for some of the provisions affected by COLA adjustments, the impact on state revenue would be positive. For other provisions, the impact on state revenue would be negative. The net effect is currently undetermined. Pretty helpful.
Mr. Chair.
Chair Markworth.
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson. Right, and part of the reason it would be undetermined at this point because it doesn't say which type of inflation we would go to, the CPI or the chain CPI. And so now the tax bill last year that got to the governor's desk and was vetoed had the chained CPI in it for the inflation measure.
Any other questions from members? Hearing none, anyone from the audience would like to speak in favor or against the bill? Hearing none, any further comments, Mr. Chair?
Well, members, you can see the packed house again for another very exciting bill. Yes, so, no, it's just, you know, something the committee will be determining as we move forward. So thank you, members.
Chair Markworth renews his motion that House File 1453 be laid over as amended for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. There we go. Moving forward.
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
This concludes today. Tomorrow is Working Family Credit Day. And then next Tuesday, we will hear the governor's bill. And then at that point, members will have a chance to ask questions and so forth, make comments. And then on Wednesday, for those will be testifiers. So it will be comments on the tax bill, governor's tax bill. And then in the Thursday, we can continue with either member discussion or more testimony. And then we do have a technical bill to deal with next Thursday. So that's kind of the plan into the future.
We shall do that, or we must do that.
Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, we are adjourned.